So good to be back on a Monday. Hi, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Really is good to be back. Thank you very much for being here with us. Maybe it's a Tuesday morning for you. Maybe it's a Monday evening. Maybe like us here in Southern California, it is a Monday afternoon for you. And we're just delighted you're here. Thanks for being with us. We got a great program for you. Second hour, Jimmy Akin will be here, and we'll do a little bonus open forum. Jimmy will come by, and we'll do a whole hour of ask him anything. Ask anything you want of Jimmy Akin. First hour, what a wonderful opportunity. Our guest is Bishop Thomas Papraki of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, and who recently penned a very interesting letter to his faithful and did a very interesting interview with the Pillar Catholic about what he wrote there. And you may know that there's been some controversy about how to treat Catholic politicians who are supporting abortion in one way or another and communion. Well, Bishop Papraki wants us to open up a little bit more of a conversation about not the people who are running the country or the state that you live in, but are running those businesses that you do business with. After Roe versus Wade, you might remember all of a sudden, everybody's trying to kind of almost do their twisted form of virtue signaling, saying, you know, we'll pay anything to, you know, abort the babies of, well, they didn't say abort the babies. They don't talk that way, but you know, of employees who don't want those babies. So Bishop Papraki, first of all, thanks very much for being with us.
You're welcome. Great to be with you too.
So yeah, Roe versus Wade, it's changing the whole landscape. And now we have to seriously think about the companies we're doing business with because many have committed themselves to formally cooperate in the deaths of children.
Right. So I think there are a couple of major shifts that we have to note here, and that's what I wrote about to the faithful in my diocese in my bishop's column. First of all is the fact that we have businesses now. I think in the past, the focus has been pretty much more on politicians and the laws that they were passing that were promoting abortion. Well, after the U.S. Supreme Court decision and Dobbs versus Jackson overturned Roe versus Wade, we see dozens of companies throughout the United States issuing policies saying that they're going to pay for their employees if they're in a state where they can't get an abortion. They will pay their travel expenses. They will pay, some are saying, up to $4,000 for you to travel to another state to get an abortion. And these are not little companies either. These are companies like Amazon and American Express, Apple, Microsoft, and even entertainment companies like Disney. You know, Disney, which certainly when I was growing up was considered to be a family-friendly environment, but I think parents really need to question that these days. You know, you've got Disney saying they'll pay for their employees to get an abortion. They also recently announced that they'll be broadcasting R-rated movies on their Disney Plus channel. So I think corporate America is something that we really need to look at. The other issue that I raised here was that I think there's also a significant shift in the moral analysis now that Roe versus Wade has been overturned. Before, the politicians could say something like, well, I'm personally opposed to abortion, but you know, there's nothing I can do about it. It's the law of the land. And I think we see now that the Supreme Court has said, no, it's not the law of the land. It's up to individual states and their legislatures to discuss this and come to their own conclusions. What we see here are politicians like President of the United States, President Biden, issuing executive orders that are facilitating abortion. Now, that brings up the shift. The moral analysis is that the difference between what we call formal cooperation and material cooperation. So material cooperation is when you're involved in some way in evil, but you don't have the intent. And in some ways, it's unavoidable. So like here in Illinois, for example, we have taxpayer funding of abortion. Well, that means anytime you buy something in a store here, your sales tax is going to the state. And if you pay state income tax, that's going to the state. Now, I don't know how they're using that money. So I would think that a portion of with the sales tax that I'm paying in Illinois is perhaps going to subsidize abortions. Well, that's called remote material cooperation. That's not sinful. Because there's not much, if anything, you can do about that. Formal cooperation is when the person has the intent to promote the evil. And so I think what we see, actions like an executive order that the president has issued, he now is exhibiting the intent. He is very consciously promoting abortion. And when a person does that, he shares in the culpability. So it is a sin. So a person who is involved in formal cooperation in a grave evil, for example, shares the same kind of moral culpability as the person having or performing the abortion, and namely consequence. One of the consequences of that is in the state of grave sin, you're not to be receiving Holy Communion.
Our number here is 888-3187-884. If you'd like to talk with Bishop Papraki, you are very welcome to call 888-3187-884. And we're talking about the Eucharist here a bit and how, as it relates to this topic. And you were just kind of, I was going to ask you, how is this related to the Eucharist? But your point is that when we're engaged in grievously immoral acts, maybe especially when those acts are public, we shouldn't be presenting ourselves for communion. And often I think that we have a lot of media types, people like me, who would like to play up the differences among the American Catholic bishops. Like, this one wants to ban so-and-so, this one won't ban anybody. But the truth is that if you come to the kind of the crux of the matter, there is general agreement, it seems to me, among bishops that people who are in a state of grave public sin should not present themselves. Now, once they do, there might be a difference about what to do about that. But it does seem to me there's a general agreement among you should not be presenting yourself for communion if you're one of these corporate leaders who's paying for abortions or one of these politicians who's advocating for abortions.
Right. That's basic Catholic teaching. That's in the Catechism of the Catholic Church. And even long before that, it's been the moral teaching of the Church that anyone who is in the state of grave sin should not go to Holy Communion. That's not just with regard to abortion. That's any mortal sin. That's those who are cohabiting, those who are in adulterous relationships, even those who are missing Mass on Sunday. That's a grave sin, and should not be going to communion until you receive absolution in the sacrament of reconciliation, and that requires conversion, a change of heart, a firm purpose of amendment, not to commit that sin again. So it's really nothing new here. And in terms of that, where that's stated in canon law, that's actually canon 916, which talks about the obligation not to receive Holy Communion if you're conscious of grave sin. Canon 915 is the one before that, which talks about not the minister of communion, the priest, the deacon, or extraordinary minister of communion, not admitting someone to Holy Communion if they are persistent and obstinate and manifest grave sin. Well, the problem with putting that burden on the minister who's distributing Holy Communion is that may be the case where you can identify a prominent politician who's been outspoken in a pro-abortion position. But now, as this moves to the corporate world, if the CEO of one of these major companies that's announcing they're going to pay for their employees to get abortions, if they walked up for communion, I would have no idea who that person is.
Sure, right.
So in that sense, it's almost impossible in those cases for us to even talk about Canon 915. So it really shifts, I think, the focus to Canon 916 and the longstanding moral principle that if you're in the state of mortal sin, you should not even approach Holy Communion.
Again, the number 888-3187-884. A lot of talk about Eucharistic coherence. What does that mean, and what gives us Eucharistic coherence, especially when it comes to this grave matter, this abortion matter, which really is dividing our country, but it's making some people do mad things, like spending corporate money to kill babies. How does this discussion figure into this idea of Eucharistic coherence?
Well, that concept or that phrase, Eucharistic coherence, actually comes from the bishops of Latin America, and it is significant that this document is called the Aparecida document because it was in that city of Aparecida, where they issued this document in 2007. And that was at the time when Archbishop Jorge Bergoglio was the Archbishop of Buenos Aires and was very involved in and the drafting of this document. And even as Pope, he has referred to this Aparecida document as a blueprint for pastoral ministry. So there's a passage in here, if I just I'll read this to you. It says, "We hope that legislators, heads of government, and health professionals, conscious of the dignity of human life and the rootedness of the family in our peoples, will defend and protect it from the abominable crimes of abortion and euthanasia. That is their responsibility. We must adhere to Eucharistic coherence. That is, be conscious that they cannot receive Holy Communion and at the same time act with deeds or words against the commandments, particularly when abortion, euthanasia, and other grave crimes against life and the family are encouraged." End of quote. That's a very strong statement. And I found it interesting that recently a reporter asked Pope Francis about President Biden receiving Holy Communion. And his answer was that President Biden should talk to his pastor about this incoherence. And Pope Francis himself used that phrase, incoherence, which indicates that he in his mind, and he's saying very clearly what President Biden is doing by promoting abortion and receiving Holy Communion is incoherent.
Again, the number 888-318-7884. This is a call that it has that's for all of us to maintain this kind of Eucharistic coherence. That is, that it that our life is not giving witness against the Eucharist and against the life in Christ, and then we're going up to receive Christ's body, blood, soul, and divinity. Just before we go to the break, and then I will let people ask you questions. You list a bunch of companies who made these "will pay for your abortion" or "will send you out of state for your abortion" promises to their female employees, and I guess trying to gain some good PR from that, although that makes no sense to me. But that's apparently what they thought, or maybe it's a sincere moral position they hold. Whatever is the case, you listed the companies. But you're not saying that, for example, the CEO of Amazon who says we'll pay for abortions and then pays for abortions, you're saying that's a mortal sin. That's a grave sin, and that there's no question about that. But what about if I do business with Amazon? Are you just saying maybe reconsider that, or are you saying it's sinful for me to do business with Amazon?
No, I wouldn't go so far to say that it's sinful to do business with Amazon. And I'm not calling for a formal boycott. I'm not organizing something like that. But I am suggesting that people consider their options. For example, if you have a choice between buying a product from somebody on this list, Amazon, for example. Amazon sells all kinds of things, from books to everything that you might want in your house. And there are plenty of stores in your own neighborhood or your shopping mall where, maybe you know the owner of that store. I had a banker, for example, tell me, because there are a number of banks that are listed on here. We have Bank of America. We have J.P. Morgan Chase Bank on here. So I had a local banker in Springfield. After he saw my column, he emailed me and to assure me that his bank would not do these kinds of policies. And so I think, to that extent, we should be looking as well. If I have an account in one of these banks, maybe I should be thinking about transferring my funds to another bank. But I'd say it's a moral consideration. I think it's not a sin, though. Some people maybe have limited options in terms of what they can buy, or maybe a person who is not able to get out of the house, so got a disability or something like that. Maybe they can only shop from one of these companies online. So I think those are some of the things that go into the balance about, are you a material cooperator or formal cooperator? If you have that intent, you say, well, I'm gonna buy from this company because I want to support that policy, and I want to support their spending money for their employees to get abortions. Well, that makes you a formal cooperator. And that is gravely sinful to do that.
Again, 888-318-7884. I really did appreciate that you, as a Catholic bishop, actually listed some and started naming names in that column. I hope that we'll see more of that without laying any heavy burden on people of, like you said, if you if you need to use Amazon, you need to use Amazon. But in order to inform people, I do think it's important that we speak openly about these things. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back with your calls on Eucharistic coherence with Bishop Thomas Papraki on Catholic Answers Live right after this.
Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
EWTN, teaching the truth.
Thanks for the excellent programming. We had a representative from the local Catholic radio yesterday at Mass, and he encouraged the members to listen. And, you know, it seems like excellent programming, very thought-provoking.
I just love your program. I wanted to tell you guys that the Catholic radio is just the greatest thing in my life.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. If you'd like to read the column that our guest, Bishop Thomas Papraki of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois, wrote, it's called Politicians, Business Leaders Who Promote Abortion Policies and Benefits Are Not to Receive Holy Communion. That's the name of the article, and you can get that at the Catholic Times of the Diocese of Springfield, Illinois. Lots of folks on the line to talk with you, Bishop. Shall we go to the phones?
All right.
All right. Let's go to Art in Covington, Kentucky, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. Art, I hope everything's okay there in Kentucky. We got a lot of bad news out of Kentucky lately.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to storm here any minute now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's just funny that the sun's out. We got partial blue skies, and I just got an alert on my phone about going to have a storm coming, so there you go.
Well, that's not what you need, and I'm sorry that there's more of that rain coming. We've certainly been praying for all the people in Kentucky, especially
that.
Yeah, it's awful. But go ahead with your question for Bishop Thomas Papraki.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you're absolutely. Question is, you're talking about Speaker Pelosi and President Biden. They're both Catholic. And I say that they don't promote abortion. They're pro-choice people. Okay, church says that's wrong. What, in your mind, what would you want Speaker Pelosi to do or say, and President Biden? What would you just want them to come out and say? Abortion's wrong. It's against the Fifth Commandment. You cannot kill. What would you think to make the church happy in reference to the Speaker and the President?
Well, I think it would help if they said that abortion was wrong. And I think specifically what I would be looking for them to do would be to stop promoting policies and taking actions like executive orders that actually promote abortion. I don't buy the line that they're simply pro-choice. If they were really pro-choice, these companies, for example, why are they only paying $4,000 or more or less for their employees to get abortions? Why aren't they saying, well, we'll pay your hospital costs when you go to have a baby. We'll pay for you, you know, if you're miles away from a hospital, we'll pay for whatever you have to cost for you to get there. So I think it's not sincere when they talk about being pro-choice, because if they were sincerely pro-choice, they would also be helping women who to have their babies and to care for their babies. And so I think what would make the Catholic Church happy with President Joe Biden and Speaker Nancy Pelosi, stop promoting abortion and start promoting helping mothers to have and care for their babies and their fathers to take care of them also.
Art, thank you very much for getting us started here. It is striking to me when you think about that we've never lived in a world without Roe for decades and decades. It's going to take time to work out, the new political landscape, but everybody's on the hook now. There's nobody that can say, I got, as far as politics or business, I'm not involved in that. I got nothing to say about that. It's just there's a lot to be settled, and really you got to pick a side.
Right, and that was the hope, I think, when Roe versus Wade was decided. It was really just by judicial fiat. Justice Blackmun, who wrote that decision, thought that he was going to end the debate, and instead it continued and raged for another 50 years. And then even in 1992, with the decision of Planned Parenthood versus Casey, the Supreme Court basically came right out and said, you people should stop arguing about this and just get on board. And obviously, you know, that didn't happen either, because it's a wrongful decision, and we shouldn't acquiesce to a wrongful decision.
Amen to that. Walt in Pennsylvania, you are up next listening on Holy Spirit Radio. Walt, thanks for your call. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Bishop Thomas Paprocki.
Thank you, Your Excellency, for being on the air here. I'm very puzzled when people are saying we shouldn't have pro-abortion politicians placed under interdict because it, quote, politicizes the Holy Communion. I don't have a whole lot of letters at the end of my name like a lot of these guys do to make these decisions. But it seems pretty crystal clear that if somebody is for manifest grave evil of murdering other people, and not only philosophically, but actually doing things like Biden and Pelosi, et cetera, they should be under interdict. It's actually better for their soul, too, if you read St. Paul's letter.
All right, well, let me get the bishop to respond.
Well, I think to talk about something like an interdict is actually a canonical penalty, and imposing canonical penalties is a little more complicated to do, usually involving a canonical trial. And so I think what I and other bishops like Archbishop Salvatore Corleone in San Francisco are taking the approach, starting with canons 915 and 916, which are more administrative, and especially canon 916, just really putting the burden on the person to do the right thing. That doesn't rule out the possibility in the future. I mean, for example, if Speaker Pelosi continues to just ignore what Archbishop Corleone is saying, and that seems to be her approach, after he issued that that instruction to her, she apparently went and received Holy Communion at the Vatican. And so if she's going to publicly flaunt that, well, that may require at some point more drastic measures to be taken. But I think our approach is to do things incrementally. That's kind of always the best approach, is to start with, trying to give people the opportunity to cooperate and to comply. And then if they refuse or just outright defy what they're being told to do by the church authorities, then I think perhaps more drastic actions might need to be taken later.
Do you think that some of these some bishops, not in political hotspots like Washington D.C. or Chicago or New York, but in corporate hotspots, Delaware and some of the bishops in those places, if the headquarters of one of these big corporations that's paying for abortion is there and they know there's a Catholic CEO, do you think bishops have an obligation to pick up the phone and say, hey, I need to speak with you about this. This is a grave matter.
Well, yes, I think just as in the case with politicians, before publicly telling a politician not to receive Holy Communion, there should be, and there have been, many private conversations. I know I had those conversations with Senator Dick Durbin and other politicians here in Illinois. I know Archbishop Corleone did. He made that very clear that he did have some conversations with Speaker Pelosi and tried to continue those dialogues with her, and then she just basically shut him down and was not responding to him. So, you know, that's always pastorally, that's an important step to take. And so I think it would be the same.
No, for corporate America. Oh, we had a little freeze.
We have to address that.
We had a little bit of a freeze on the audio there, Bishop. But we got your point that we have to do that now with the corporate executives as well. It's going to put a lot of people in a tough spot. You know, what if you're not the CEO, but you're, you know, the vice president or the human resources director or something for these corporations? Those people too have to start making choices about what they'll cooperate with and what they won't.
Right. I think if you're in a management position, if you're a middle manager, there might be less influence that you have or anything that you could do if you're upper management, but not the CEO. And if you disagree, to make your views known. I've also already heard from some employees who work for companies that are announcing policies like this, that they're looking to change companies, you know, and I think that should give some of these companies pause too, because many of them are finding it difficult to hire staff. And if there's a danger of losing employees, they should think twice about that.
Bishop Thomas Papraki here with us to talk about Eucharistic coherence and this whole abortion debate, which has become more fraught, not less, here in the United States. More right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
Have you enrolled in the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics? Let me ask you a more important question. Do you believe as a Catholic that you have an obligation to share the Catholic faith? In fact, the Church has answered this question, and the answer is that all confirmed Catholics are obliged to share the faith. It's actually in canon law. Catholic Answers is here to help you fulfill that obligation. Our School of Apologetics courses will equip you to help all the people you come in contact with understand what the Church teaches and why. A great place to start is with all the Catholics in your life. Learn the art of apologetics from the best of the best and start sharing the gospel today. Visit schoolofapologetics.com. That's schoolofapologetics.com. Here's a question. Is it really possible to be friends with someone who died 2,000 years ago? Maybe the problem is that we've grown way too comfortable with the story of Jesus. Nice man, right? Taught us to love one another, said not to judge people. We celebrate his birthday every year. It's time to put away this small, safe version of Jesus, says Cy Kellett. Nobody that bland could have transformed the world. In A Teacher of Strange Things, Cy presents Jesus Christ undiluted by sentiment, with all his radical words and deeds uncensored. Do you know someone, your son or daughter perhaps, or maybe your mom or dad, who needs the friendship of Jesus Christ? Do you? Order your copy of A Teacher of Strange Things by visiting shop.catholic.com today or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Did you know you can access Catholic Answers Live right from your phone or other mobile device? Download the Catholic Answers Live app today. The Catholic Answers Live app, available now on iOS and Android.
Are you a revert to the Catholic faith?
We'd love to hear about your journey tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations.
Now back to Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Bishop Thomas Papraki is our guest. He's the Bishop of Springfield, Illinois. And we're just delighted that he's going to be with us here for our Catholic Answers Conference on the Eucharist. And you'll get a chance to visit with him in person and ask him these things yourself. The Eucharist, I am with you always, is the name of our conference this year. It's the weekend of the 24th of September. If you use the promo code EARLY, you save $50 on your ticket. Go to CatholicAnswersConference.com and register right now. CatholicAnswersConference.com. Register, use that promo code early and save $50 on your ticket. Bishop Papraki is a good and gentle soul, and he doesn't use words like creepy, but I kind of find it creepy, this whole thing of we'll pay for your abortion. And I am not entirely sure that, and I apologize if this is wrong to make this speculation, but there's some bottom line consideration that it's cheaper for a company to abort a baby than to take care of women employees who have babies and to take care of their babies. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some encouragement for the euthanasia movement among big corporations before too long, because sure, it saves you on insurance, those insurance bills. But that is my speculation. That is not what the bishop said. He said let's have some Eucharistic coherence. And that one of the things that we saw immediately after that Roe versus Wade overturn decision, the Dobbs decision, was lots of corporate officials coming out and say, we'll pay for abortions. Well, if they're Catholic, they should not be coming to a communion. That's what a bishop is saying. You're welcome to call and ask Bishop Thomas Papraki your questions, 888-318-7884. Going to Arkansas now, Greg in Green Forest, Arkansas, listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Greg, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Thomas Papraki.
Bishop, thank you for your witness. Thank you for standing up for life. Thank you for taking the gospel seriously and holding up for life. Our family, we've adopted two children at birth, and we sure are thankful for birth mothers that had the guts to do the right thing. But I guess what I was going to ask, Bishop, was this. You know, on this issue, you know, I have family in your area, and, you know, it just amazes me that Catholics are not pro-life. How in the world has this happened, and what in the world can we, you know, I appreciate what you're doing, and you need to keep at it there, but what in the world can we do to help?
Well, yes, that's a very perplexing and troubling situation now to see that, you know, so many Catholics apparently have bought in.
Oh, we got a little audio freeze again on Bishop. I'm so sorry about that. We'll have him here in a second, Greg, and he will respond. But sorry, Bishop, had a little glitch again. I don't know what we're doing wrong today, but twice we've had those glitches. You better start over because you glitched right at the beginning of what you were saying to Greg.
Okay. Can you hear me all right now?
Yes.
Good. Okay, great. Yes, it's really a very sad thing that this is happening, and especially when you see it with people that call themselves Catholic, and when you see it within your families, they're just buying into whatever the culture is promoting here. And so I think we need to continue to be a witness to the truth, and that's difficult these days when people don't even want to accept that there is such a thing as the truth. But we have to be able to articulate that the truth is that human life begins at conception. And that's not a religious statement. That's a scientific statement that scientists will tell you. That's the moment when human life begins. So we have to do that and continue to be a witness to that. It can be very frustrating. It requires patience. It also requires that we be loving with people. When we say these things, we have to make sure that we're really doing this out of love and concern for them, and not to be attacking people who disagree with us. But what we're trying to do is not turn them away from the church. We're trying to bring them back in. And so even something like telling someone you can't go to Holy Communion, well, you can't go to Holy Communion until you go to confession. And so what we're trying to do there is have a conversion, have a change of heart. And that was our Lord's message to people, his very first words in his public ministry, repent and believe in the good news. And so we're trying to call people to that whole idea of repentance, come back, and follow the teachings that our Lord Jesus has given to us with love for our fellow human beings.
Okay, Greg?
Yes, and hey, the main thing which we see the pro-life issue being more prominent and more on the right side with our young people, but that's what, to me, hey, parents, Lord have mercy, teach the truth to your children, you know.
Amen, so, brother.
Thank you, Bishop.
Well, you're welcome.
And thank you, Greg, and congratulations on the two adopted babies.
Thank you.
Let's go to Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Tom, thank you for waiting. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Bishop Thomas Papraki.
Well, thank you for having me on the program. Here's my question or my thoughts here. Pelosi is the only politician, certainly the only major politician, who's been denied communion, as far as I know. And then that took 5 years. Now, surely there is a way this ought to be handled more systematically and more timely and more widespread. So why isn't it?
Well, she, Senator Durbin, Speaker Pelosi is a high-ranking official, the highest-ranking official that has been told not to go to communion. But I mentioned Senator Durbin here in Illinois. He's a United States senator. He's a very prominent leader in the Senate. He's the head of the Senate Judiciary Committee. And I have also told here in Illinois, the Speaker of the House of our Illinois General Assembly and the President of the Illinois Senate, when they passed pro-abortion legislation, and both of them Catholic, I told them they could not go to communion. I know Archbishop Nauman had some conversations with Nancy Sebelius when she was the governor in Kansas. So there have been some cases like this, but I would agree with you. I think there are more that need to be addressed, and I would like to see my brother bishops really taking the initiative on this. I think what we've tried for a long time now is a process of dialogue, and hoping that by having conversations with them, that they would come as a pro-life, which, as I said, is not really just a religious belief, that's based on science. But our hope would be that they would come around on that. And unfortunately, what we're seeing is after in some cases, after decades of dialogue, it doesn't seem to be working. So I think what we're also seeing is some bishops, like Archbishop Cordiglione, I think it was extremely patient and trying to talk to Speaker Pelosi, but he finally reached at the end of his rope with that as well, you might say, and said, okay, that's enough talking. It's time to take some action.
Tom, thanks very, very much for the question. It does seem to me, Bishop, that at some point in the 1970s, somebody invented this idea of I'm personally opposed, but I won't impose my beliefs on others. And it still infects the Catholic way of thinking or talking about the politics of abortion.
Yes, that was Governor Mario Cuomo at the time. He gave a talk at the University of Notre Dame. In which he basically laid out that position, how you could, as a politician, be personally opposed to abortion, but being pro-choice, you're not going to impose those beliefs on other people. So you've heard that line from many politicians. What I note about that is abortion is the only political issue I've ever heard where a politician said, I don't want to impose my beliefs on somebody else.
Otherwise, what's the point of being a politician?
Exactly. Politics is about policy.
Yeah.
And policies are about your personal beliefs.
Yeah.
And so every politician does that. That's why we have elections. That's why we have platforms, and they state their positions on various issues.
Yeah.
And so it's just disingenuous to say, I'm not going to impose my belief on other people.
Well, it would seem bizarre in almost any, like if you said, you know, I am personally opposed to drunk driving, but I don't want to impose that on other people, then people would go, that's insane. But somehow it worked. It's magic for the last 40 or 50 years among Catholic politicians.
And there was a shift there also because, I mean, we saw someone like Bill Clinton when he was running for president back in the 1990s. 1992, I believe it was when he first said about, you know, abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. And then a few years later, they dropped the rare. And yeah. And now, in fact, some politicians are celebrating abortions. They think they cheer when someone says that she's had an abortion.
Yeah, indeed. There have been a lot of disillusionment over the years. I was one who believed Bill Clinton when he said that. And then I can remember the day he vetoed the partial birth abortion ban, and I thought this is utterly inconsistent with what he ran on. And then I've never believed a politician since. Well, no, I have believed some of them, but I mean, there was something disillusioning about that if you can veto partial birth abortion ban, you're not serious about safe, legal, and rare.
Right, and you know, and it's not just members of one party. I think members of both parties. In fact, what I find disconcerting and troubling is the fact that many of these Supreme Court decisions, the ones that were in favor of abortion, they were written by justices of the court who were appointed by Republicans. Harry Blackmun, who wrote Roe versus Wade, yeah. was a Nixon appointee, Kennedy, who was involved in many of these cases, Robert Kennedy, or Anthony Kennedy, rather.
Yeah.
Justice Anthony Kennedy, he was a Reagan appointee. And Sandra Day O'Connor, the same thing. So, you know, it's both parties need to be called to task on this.
And on the other side, people forget this, but the great defender of the right to life was Justice White, who was appointed by a Democratic president, appointed by John Kennedy. And Justice White, he's the one who famously said when Roe was adopted, this has nothing to do with the Constitution. This is raw judicial power. And so, you know, we have a lot of reason to be proud of a person like Justice White. But yeah, he crosses all the political lines, and it's just going to get messier in the coming years as we figure this out. But I do think there's good reason to hope. But I don't know. I guess I'm always a Pollyanna about this. But I think we're going to see more pro-life Democrats. But people are going to make fun of me for saying that. But I think we are. But we'll take a quick break while I take off my Pollyanna braids and get back to the real world right after this Catholic Answers Live.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
EWTN, helping people grow in their love and understanding of God.
I just want to share that 5 years ago, my lovely warrior princess and saint of a wife and I decided to adopt a little girl through foster care. She is the perfect round out of our family of three boys and her. Yes, there are challenges. Very grateful today for all the blessings that he has shown our family.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic. The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, because I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics, tomorrow night, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Television and Radio.
We have a big problem. Our culture is dying, and souls are in danger of being lost. The answer is conversion to Jesus Christ in His church. St. Paul Street Evangelization is a Catholic organization, and we have hundreds of teams spreading the good news throughout the country. But we need your help. The harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Find out more and get involved today at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. Starting off the week with a really great hour here on what we call Eucharistic coherence, the idea that if we are to receive Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity in the Eucharist, that we should be properly disposed to do so by going to confession if we have grave sin or the possibility of grave sin on our soul. And that none of us should be giving witness counter to the gospel in fundamental things like the right of a human being to be alive, and then presenting ourselves to communion. Bishop Papraki wrote a really fine essay and then did an interview with the Pillar Catholic folks about it. It's called "Politicians, Business Leaders Who Promote Abortion Policies and Benefits Are Not to Receive Holy Communion." The business leaders is the new part. And if you'd like to engage in that conversation with Bishop Papraki, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Tammy's on the line in Columbus, Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. So we'll go to you, Tammy. Go ahead with your question for Bishop Papraki.
Thank you so much, first of all, for taking my call, and I'm so thankful for both of you. My question is maybe a little bit more of a vague one, but what do you do in the situation where not only your own business, but your entire state organization is maybe indicating something that you oppose? So I'm a nurse in the state of Ohio, have been for almost 30 years, and all of the nurses in Ohio received an email from the Ohio Board of Nursing last week stating that they were shocked and disappointed in the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe versus Wade, and that they expected all nurses to take care of patients including whatever their decisions were. Being said, I looked at my husband and my first statement was, I guess I can't be a nurse anymore. So what do you do when something like this happening, where you're really, I feel like I am being scorned for being a Catholic and a nurse, and they're expecting me to go against my faith in order to continue helping people in the profession that I've chosen.
Bishop Papraki?
Yes, well, first of all, thank you for your service as a nurse, and we certainly need nurses, so I would hope that you would not have to quit your job. What I would recommend in that situation would be to fight back. And we had a very similar situation here in Illinois a few years ago regarding pharmacists, where the governor issued a mandate that pharmacists had to fill prescriptions for contraceptives and abortifacient drugs. And that caught my attention because I've come from a family of pharmacists. My grandfather, my father, my two of my brothers and a niece and nephew. We have four generations of pharmacists in my family. And so I was in conversation with some other pharmacists in our state. They filed a lawsuit against the state of Illinois, and they won. Now, here in Illinois, we have a Religious Freedom Restoration Act. I don't know what the law is in Ohio, but most states have some kind of law that protects the rights of conscience. And even if you don't, there's ultimately the First Amendment to the United States Constitution, which guarantees our free exercise of religion. Now, that's a difficult battle in some cases, but there are organizations out there that are willing to help. There's the St. Thomas More Society in Chicago, for example, a pro-life law firm. There's the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty. There's the Alliance for Defending Freedom. There are some good pro bono law firms out there that may be very willing to provide some pro bono legal services to fight a case to protect your religious freedom.
What do you think, Tammy?
Thank you so much. That was incredibly helpful.
Wonderful. I'm so glad. I think I'm so glad you mentioned those groups at the end too, because people can feel so alone, but you're not necessarily alone. I mean, you may have to make your stand alone sometimes, but you consider people like the Beckett Fund that you mentioned standing up for religious freedom all over the place. And so there is help.
Right. And we shouldn't be afraid to look for help. And I recognize that, someone can feel very alone. You've got someone, state authority telling you have to do this.
Yeah.
But I think we have to remember we're not alone. So in the case of those pharmacists, one of the pharmacists I talked to initially was somebody working the night shift. And that's why it was an issue, because there was not another pharmacist on the shift that he could simply say, look, I'm not comfortable filling this prescription. Would you take care of it? The burden was being put on that pharmacist. But, then what happened, we found out there were other pharmacists who felt similarly. So I think you will find a lot of doctors and nurses that are not going to just roll over with this. Doctors and nurses get into healthcare profession because they want to help people.
Yeah.
And when they're being told you have to do something, rather than helping a child to come into the world, you're going to help destroy that child. I don't think that's going to go over very well with healthcare professionals.
Tammy, thank you very, very much. I'm going to come back out here to Los Angeles, California, where Christopher is listening on the Catholic Answers Live app. Christopher, thank you for downloading the app onto your phone. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Bishop Thomas Papraki.
Hey, how you doing, Bishop? How you doing, Cy?
Very well.
Pretty much my quick question is, I don't really like, I guess, I think you might have already answered this with the whole governor question, but I don't really like imposing my views on other people. So when anyone, talks to me about abortion, I pretty much just tell them, your body, your sin. I mean, it's very clear that, what we believe in, and there is no gray. It's either black or white. It's either right or wrong. And what I normally always tell them is how I just said, your body, your sin. You're going to have to go before the Lord and explain that to him. Is that a bad approach?
Well, I think it's more than that. It's true, there are some things that are sinful that are not against the law. For example, telling a lie. you tell a lie to somebody, that's not necessarily a sin unless it's perjury under oath in a court. Then you might be prosecuted for that. But there are some things that are sinful but are also crimes. Murder, for example. You can't say, well, if I murder someone, that's my sin and it's only my responsibility. No, our society protects other people's, and so we have laws against murder. You say, well, what about abortion? Well, that's just the woman's body. No, it's not. There's a baby in the mother's womb. And that's been part of the lie that has been told by Planned Parenthood and organizations like that. Oh, it's just some tissue. It's just a growth in your body, and you can take that out like a tumor. Well, ultrasound has shown that's not true. We see images of a real baby with hands and feet and movement. And so it's not a question of just a woman making a choice about her body. There's another real body inside of her, and that body deserves protection as well.
Does that make a difference to you thinking about it that way, Christopher, that there's actually a life being taken here?
Yeah, actually, you know what? That's a very eye-opening response. I really need to start grabbing the bull by the horns then. that really helps. Thank you.
Oh, well, God bless you, Christopher. You know, if you're going to grab the bull by the horns, we want you to be as persuasive as you can, and we have a book called Persuasive Pro-Life. So if you would like a copy of it, I think you'll enjoy it. It's by Trent Horn, and people really like Trent Horn's writing for some reason. So I will be happy to send it to you. Just hang on the line. We'll send you a copy of our book, Persuasive Pro-Life. We got to keep we got to keep Bishop working, though, so we're going to go to John in St. Louis, Missouri. Can I go to John in St. Louis, Missouri? Listening on the Covenant Radio Network? All right. No, John's not there. I can't go to, you all lied to me. The bishop just said lying is a sin like one second ago. We did get this comment from Scott off air, and he said, I think I might have addressed this. I didn't know if you wanted to address it anymore. Scott said, I think it's important to emphasize the financial incentive for businesses to pay for abortion. Is that something you're interested in emphasizing, or would you rather just stay with the don't formally cooperate with abortion?
Well, the business side of that. I'm not sure exactly what he's asking. By buying their products, we're subsidizing them. Is that what he's saying?
I think what he's saying is that there is a financial incentive for them to pay for abortion because they don't have to, you know, maternal leave and insurance for the child and all that. They don't have to pay for now.
Oh, sure. I mean, that's definitely a factor. Not only maternity leave and even paternity leave these days, many companies have that as well. There's also the question of the disruption to the workforce. And so if a company, even if they have a maternity leave policy, which is very good, that's fine. But then the company may be saying, oh, yeah, but we're going to lose that employee for whatever period of time their leave allows for, several weeks. We have to hire someone in the meantime, and that's going to be disruptive. And so in terms of just getting our work done, it's just more efficient if our employee will have an abortion. So, yeah, that's definitely a factor that I think is coming into play here.
Scott, thank you very, very much. We're coming to the end of our time with Bishop Paprocki, so I won't be able to go to more calls. Next hour, Jimmy Akin will be here, and we will do open forum. But Bishop, maybe just make the pitch to folks again. Oh, I know. First of all, again, Bishop Paprocki will be with us in September, just a couple months from now. No, well, September is next month, I guess I should say it that way. And we're really looking forward to you being out here. Thanks for agreeing to come out and talk about the Eucharist with us.
Well, thank you. I'm looking forward to it also to be with you and lots of other folks to address this very, very important issue. And I'm very grateful that Catholic Answers is providing this opportunity.
Are you going to be talking about this specific stuff, the Eucharistic coherence stuff, when you talk about the Eucharist?
Yes, I do. I do plan to talk about Eucharistic coherence, and that'll be the primary focus of my presentation.
Bishop Thomas Paprocki has been our guest. You should check out the interview over at thepillarcatholic.com. It's a good interview. When smart people interview other smart people, it always makes for good interviews, and that's what you'll find over there at the Pillar Catholic. And then also you can check out the newspaper of the Diocese of Springfield for Bishop Paprocki's own column. Just check his columns, and you'll come up with the one that we've been talking about today. It's important stuff, and we're really glad we had the chance to talk about it. Bishop, may we and our listeners have your blessing before we go.
Yes, may Almighty God be with you and bless you and keep you strong, especially in your pro-life efforts. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Mr. Prabhagi, thanks very much.
You're welcome.
All right, Jimmy Akin, right after this, Catholic Answers Live.